And my dad is just like, ooh, I have an idea. What if we kidnap Nick? We put a balaclava on, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
His jet ski out the back. We could go take his money and then we can park. Like, my dad's like scheming some stuff. I was like, Dad, I see you've been drawing a lot of inspiration from these action movies that you've been watching, and I think that's very good. It's very creative. I've been trying to egg on my parents' creativity.
That's good.
For Dad, it's like heist films.
Okay.
Inspiring him to get out of the house. He got in. There's a lot of that, but like...
like, heist films inspire him to get out of the house and just, you know, case a bank.
Yeah. That's just life. So say goodnight.
Don't say it softly. Welcome back to Sharing Noodles, Season 2, Episode 1. It's like we never
went
left.
Back. Yeah.
Easy.
Now we're in low, high def metaverse. I'm in Australia right now.
You're in Australia. I'm in Austin.
I have an
now.
Australian accent. Kind
Did you
of.
Have that last time? No.
No. No, I brought it back in February of last year. So this
Do
is
I have an Austin accent? I don't know what that is.
Australian.
Australian. Yeah, I don't last time we had no video. There was no AI back then.
No.
So we have AI and video and we're doing this.
Was it mid-COVID?
I think so. Yeah. That thing worked out. we solved that. Everything's fine now.
We canceled COVID.
Mm-hmm. COVID got canceled. Yeah, I don't know that we should do the whole history between the time of our last episode and this one. We could do it real time.
Yes, I think we just speed run it. Which is fine. I say we don't even edit this. We just aim for the... It's 8:30 a.m. over here, which is what time over there?
4:30 p.m. Central Time, okay. Austin, Texas.
Okay, so I'm gonna keep an eye on the clock, but we're gonna try to keep this under 30, keep this snacky.
Cool.
But now we've introduced ourselves. What are we doing now? Well, we're working on a new company.
Yeah.
And focused on building a new character named Tanaki, and I would hope that the Tanaki gang, as in the folks who play with Tanaki at home, will be tuning into this podcast because we're gonna make it a lot more Tanaki related, but by crazy coincidence, it happened to be called Sharing Noodles. Tanaki happens to look a lot like a noodle or a thin calamari.
It's true. Yeah, the last version of this was like an example of the kind of thing that we're trying to help people do themselves. We set up a schedule to do like sort of an improvised show where we dropped in at a certain time, like I think weekly we were doing it, something like that, for X amount of time, and then just played together. The general sense is like, we have a reason to meet, we have a reason to make something, and we have a reason to put it out, which brings us new friends, this kind of thing. And so now we're complexifying that into an entire company.
Yes, overachieving.
Exactly. But yeah, I think, I don't know, part of what we're talking about, I guess, is, or like exploring is different modes that Tanaki can have, like sort of trying out different hosting and creativity methods and stuff like that. And I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think podcasts can be a pretty intimidating format for some, even though there's more of them than there have ever been. When we started, it was really hard to do. Before Sharing Noodles, we had our weirdo podcast with Charles Foreman, Chuck, Design Dudes.
Yeah.
Where we,
I wonder if that's still up somewhere.
It's up somewhere. We had a pretty decent little following on that, and we had to do it so manually.
Yeah, we each recorded our own audio and then put it together in GarageBand. And then, the whole editing process was bonkers. Yeah.
It was brutal. And like, you know, we had to write a sort of outline of what we kind of wanted to talk about. Mm. And the container was bigger. It was just a lot of work. And before that, you did a podcast for, was it a few years? How long did you do Dino Brain for?
We weren't fairly consistent, but I think over the course of like 3 years or so. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a whole production process. How far back did that one go? Was that your first podcast?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'd done like little like pseudo radio things before, but yeah, that was like 2007 or 2008, like right after Apple introduced like podcasting in the store. So like pretty early.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun podcast, man. That's like one of the first times I like, outside of seeing your work that you posted on the internet, like hearing you and friends in a space or a context was really fun. I remember hearing that. I was like, I want to know these people. That's a fun way to kind of hang out.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the point of it. Like the output is great. Like if you can make an actual show or something like this, but most people, I don't know, like it's hard to know how to make a show. Right. And our premise was, it's really funny it was three of us, my friend Mike and B and myself. And basically we were living together at the time and like our house was basically a show. So we're like, well, we might as well record this nonsense. And it was a reason for us to hang out because all of us were busy in different ways. It was really nice. And it gave us a format that like we could produce like week over week. And so when we'd have ideas, we could put it in the Dino Brain container. So that's really fun. But like you're saying, it's a lot of work to come up with all of the scaffolding for that kind of thing. So if you could compress all of that work into a smaller format and then provide like a help with the social scheduling to get everybody in the same room, then it's effectively show up, play together and like make a little output. And then, like you said, other people can run into it and maybe there's other things to play with that way. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think for the podcasts that do end up working, it's like one of the participants or several of them end up being the sort of like glue or the noodle that ties everyone together. Or there's a producer, right? And they take care of like organizing and you know, stitching everything together, holding the band together.
Yeah.
But not everyone has that. Which means there's a lot of really great creativity or these like experiences that don't get to happen. I think when we got to do our episodes, one of us would at least hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And there's also the motivating factor of friendship, which is pretty cool. Like the excuse to get to hang out and make something together.
Yeah.
That's a fun thing to gather around. You have the excuse to be around on a regular cadence.
Yep.
And I feel like that was such good medicine during, especially during COVID time too, to have a thing to kind of look forward to and to flex that part of the brain, to have a container to put all your stuff into. And it inspires other ideas such as entire companies and fully sentient animated noodles who will facilitate the work. So, you know, I guess linking back to Tanaki and just really drive that home for those listening at home. So Tanaki is a character that we've been working on, who most know him as like a unhinged little noodle who paints stuff on TikTok and has an app, which we just put in the app store yesterday. But there's going to be other play modes for Tanaki. He's your creative friend and host who we'd like to have help create more of these fun containers and playground spaces for you to make stuff together. And one thing that we're feeling would be really dope is Tanaki helping us make podcasts. So if we can use, right now we're using Zoom. Yeah. That's kind of meh.
It's the utility closet of recorders.
It is. It is. And fun stuff should happen in a fun space.
Yeah.
So if we can have a fun environment that looks and feels cool and Tanaki can be be in the space with us and suggesting cool ideas and activities that we could do, almost like mini games, then you've got this like little podcast studio in a box.
Yep.
Pod in a box. And then anyone can pick up this little toy, even on their phone, probably, and just make fun shows together and share them with their friends.
Like, imagine right now if a character popped up and then gave you a prompt.
What is that?
It's something I got for Christmas. It's a banana slug.
Oh, seems to have wings. Beautiful.
So, yeah. But the point being, I mean, part of that's a segment we call show and tell. Show off your Christmas presents.
What do I have?
Yeah.
I have a slug on the floor.
I have something really good that was a present from the same party that gave me the banana slug. So I have to turn on my video. This thing?
Whoa. Is that
a skateboard?
Wind up,
and it's a wind-up thing? But what's important is it's a slap bracelet.
No freaking way. That is awesome.
Right? Excellent gift.
Who is the genius who came up with that? We got to get them on the show.
That would be Alexis, the sister of my partner, Kristen, who is also your part, my romantic partner and our business partner. And those lines are very clearly drawn.
People mix them up because you and I are romantic partners. But I'm friends with Kristen.
And then I am a business partner with Kristen, but we sleep in the same bed.
Yeah. And I'm podcasting from my sister's bed.
Yes. Which is the
not
best
her
environment.
It's a spare bed. It's her spare bed, to be clear.
Okay. So moving. It's a family show. Literally, we're talking about families, like Kristen's family, your family, all families.
Family entertainment. This is a genre that we're expanding into.
It's only entertaining to our families. A quick note on that. I started doing Substack, and in the past, when I'd be on social media, I'd try a little bit, like try some stuff, get it out there, try to get a following or something like this. But I'm feeling tired about that kind of thing. It's less fun these days. And that may or may not keep going. But I did send it out to a small group of people, like 100 people or so. And so I've got some readership or whatever. But like mostly I only get likes on my posts from my mom. So,
I got to send your Substack to my mom.
See, then I could get
my mom is a
multiple
fan.
Mom. I appreciate that. This is a good to know. my target demo is friends, moms, whatever works. you've got to put it out where it's going to get picked up.
Yeah, that's at least 90% of the population. If you do the math, that person is probably someone's mom. You could point to anyone in the room.
That made me think of praying mantises and how and this is the zoo fact, which is also a good segment.
I love zoo facts. All right, welcome back.
Zoom just decided to crash.
Ooh.
It says it's still recording, though, so we'll find out if that actually works.
All right. Well, I guess auto edit. So you're talking about these.
Yeah, talking about those. A praying mantis. So when the female praying mantis finishes her sexy time business with a male praying mantis, I don't know if it's after she knows that she's pregnant. Do praying mantises get pregnant? No, they're not mammals.
Do they
Whatever
do
the
pregnancy
case.
Tests? Do they pee on like a little leaf and then...
They'll pee on anything. They're a mess. So the female praying mantis will bite off the male praying mantis's head. So back to the demographic statistics that we were talking about, how moms make up 90% of most of the population. I think that's true within the praying mantis community.
Mm. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I watched my mother bite my father's head off when I was a youth.
How's he doing?
Well, you know, he was a provider for the family. Mm-hmm. Don't they eat the dad? Is that what happens? Does the mom eat the dad?
That would make sense from a biological standpoint.
Yeah, it's not just because she's like being a bitch or something.
No, she's just doing what she's got to do to make ends meet. And dad has done his job.
Yeah.
And there's dads everywhere. So
there are so many dads. Dad meat. That's why dads get dad bods. They got to beef themselves up.
They're beefing it up so that they can provide the dad meat to keep the family fed.
Oh, man. Good. So one of the things we got to do, I don't know if we do it on the episode or it's like an aside or a bonus thing, is we AI generate the cover art for the episode that we'll post. But that's gonna be a bit more advanced AV. Maybe, yeah. I don't know if we do it on this episode or we do it on the next episode, but I think it'd be fun to open like Tanaki or similar and then try to prompt, you know, like praying mantis dad meat or whatever and see what pops out.
I like this idea of so the thinking about, all right, so back to the like, I got my little product, my toy maker hat on, right? So like, say we have like a compact podcast studio, what we're calling pod, right? And what just popped up to me there was like, you know, there's a little format and I keep mentioning this, like 5 minutes, right? We do 5 minutes and then Tanaki pops in with some prompts to keep things moving, right? Gives you some stuff to talk about. That's fun. And then there can be like maybe a cluster of buttons or something like this. And they could be maybe like one use tools. Like two things came up there. One, I want a soundboard, like, you know, hooting and hollering or something like this. That's fun.
And some audience applause. Some
audience applause, like laugh track is definitely useful.
Villages and screaming. Then,
screams, praying mantis noises. One of those should definitely be a giraffe. One of the best things to do is to ask kids what noise a giraffe makes, and it's really good.
What's your answer to that?
You can either go silent or you can do something horrifying. And if they know that giraffes don't make noises, then they're like, no, man, it's like, and I'm like, what is it actually like? And then it's a frustrating exercise.
I think it would sound far away because it's tall.
Yeah.
Or like screaming, but far away, like, hey,
up here. That's good. Okay, so the button I had in mind there is like maybe you get like a couple attempts at generating the album artwork or something, or the cover, and so like, or just one, right? So you like press it and then you give it the thing and then it generates it, and that's what it is. So like a one-off like generation or something. Anyways, scarcity, some gameplay, keep it moving, right? Like and it's a subset of what you could do with the tools like in like a free play context or whatever. So it's a tightly like you got some scarcity, whatever, makes it fun.
Do you think this pushes out a video podcast? Spotify supports video podcasts now, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. I have to go look at that, but I think so. Like we were talking about piping video feeds into it. We'll definitely pipe audio feeds into it, right? So and the vision I have is that like you're in like a cozy kind of studio, like maybe Pascal's sister's second bedroom. That could be one of the like themes of the studio. You could probably change the themes around. And then you have mics and they're recording. You do this on your phone, you could do this on your desktop, wherever. You can do it on your iPad. You can do it on your Android Kindle tablet. Do they use Android? Whatever.
Smart fridge.
And it could have video. I don't see why not.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fun to see you in this. It's fun to see faces. And video podcasts used to be a heck of a lot harder.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, the first podcast I ever did was when I was living in Vancouver. And it was me. Do you remember Nick Campbell, Grayscale Gorilla?
Yeah.
He's a huge deal now. And yeah. Another friend named Timmy Allen. Incredible man.
Good.
That's and amazing. We did like 3 or 4 episodes maybe of an animation podcast. And because it was animation, we're like, we got to make it video.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was like 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
Really freaking hard to
use.
Do.
Like Skype or something, yeah.
We used Skype and ScreenFlow and edited the videos together. And Tim like hand animated transitions. And stuff. It was so much work. It was cool, but we were exhausted doing it. But
yeah,
it was really nice having video with the audio. And if we're already using Funaki, who's super visual, then we could almost certainly record an audio video situation.
Thingamabob. Yep.
A thingamabobba. Yeah, I wonder, I don't know if we're getting into the weeds, but maybe we can get into the weeds a little bit. I see a jar.
That's a segment, into the weeds.
Into the weeds, I'm writing everyone down. Okay, into the weeds. Do you think if we did video podcasts, we'd have to do some things to remind people to make this also work for audio? It's like, for example, you held up the banana slug on camera, but you described what it was.
Yeah.
If you just did it and you were like acting stuff out on camera, you would almost need some audio cue. Or is that something you think people would just naturally pick up?
I think so. Part of the thing that we've talked about is the toys have, and this is like an example of one of Tanaki's toys or tools. In the case that they're like a little social media toy, the idea is that it's outputting a piece of media that you can then share with people. So like if you make something, it's fun, you're excited to share it. One of the parts of sharing these things is getting feedback. And so it could be in the process, be like, somebody gives you feedback. Like when you held up the banana slug, it would be cool if you talked about it. Right. And so maybe the next time you have that to play with, cause you know, I think this is part of the creative community that we're trying to put together. That pulling together people that can give you quality feedback on how you might make it more fun next time. And then, you know, teaching people how to give decent feedback. But if we can, I don't know if there can potentially be like little prompts and stuff like this, but I think it's maybe practice modes or something like
that
you could do.
Cool.
You could jump into the podcast studio and then like one of the little challenges is like, bring a prop and like you could do a one-on-one thing just with Tanaki in the sense of like rubber ducking, right? So there's a prompt or whatever it is, and it's like pick up any object right now that's on in your immediate environment and describe it. Right.
Oh yeah.
And so that's more, you know, training by doing kind of thing. But I don't know. Stuff like that might be fun.
Yeah. I recently added a little bit of computer vision into Tanaki, which you can play with in the Discord. Where he's able to recognize stuff. Thanks to
Glyph.
App. Shout out to them.
What up, Glyph?
So imagine if through the camera, Tanaki's like doing the challenge. He's like, find one of these things and hold it up. Then he looks at it and then he just tries to make sense of whatever the hell that you're doing on the camera. And then he can provide his own commentary.
Yeah. There's like the, what was that? That bar, Google Bard. Example where they're like showing things.
A goose. Didn't they say it was fake after they got like in trouble?
So we could do a version of this that is just wrong.
And then I love
that's
embracing
something
wrong.
To play with. Yeah.
That's one of the things I think we have an opportunity to do with Tanaki is just embrace the rough edges with so much serious AI stuff going on where it's like it has to be safe and it has to do this. It's like, bro, this is just a dude noodle who's chilling.
Yep.
a doodle.
Like, I think it's a, I mean, this is part of the creativity thing and part of what we're trying to make as an environment. Like, right and wrong in the sense of there is a correct way of doing things is one of the hardest things to unlearn if you get that sort of like beaten into your head. So, because the nature of creativity is looking at things wrong half the time. Like, yeah, those two things go together. Like, the inventor of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich sat down. Do Australians like peanut butter? The Swiss don't.
Peanut butter and jelly, but we flip the sandwich upside down. It's actually jelly and peanut butter because it's Australia.
Down under. I get it. The peanut butter and jelly are below the sandwich. It's just two pieces of bread. And it's terrible. It's a terrible mess. But, you know, there's no wrong way to do it.
Oh,
just,
man,
more or less right ways. So,
yeah. In the neighborhood.
Yeah. So, all right. Some ideas for episode activities, I think, you know, and then like we're sort of poking into product design a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of what we're going to be playing with in this space.
That's fun. And we'll have a bit of perhaps a serial effect to some of the podcasts. You know, we're coming up to the 6 minute mark on our time constraint here. We don't have to be super deep strict, but just so
we should try. Pacing,
what
constraints? Constraints are how creativity something happens.
That's true. Someone's probably written a tweet about it or an about it. Do you call them X's now? Are they posts?
I don't know. I don't call them much of it. I think still tweets.
You call them X's. You see my X's.
You see my X on that? I don't think I've made it. I don't think I've made a tweet since it became X. So I got to try that out and see what it feels like.
Yeah, it feels different. It feels different. It's got the, like, it feels like when Pepsi redesigned their logo. But worse.
New Pepsi.
The Pepsi logo in the 90s was so lit.
Yeah.
And they put it on the side of Jets and stuff.
After they changed the logo, it just wouldn't fit on a jet anymore. It's the worst possible rebrand. Just no matter what you do, it's just, it's too big or too small. It's just rough.
Yeah. Whenever one is designing a logo, this is something they don't say in art school, you should always mock it up on the side of a jet.
We should put Tanaki equipment on the side of a jet. See, this would be a great thing. Tanaki, show yourself on the side of a jet.
Run that then. Well, what should we try to talk about on the next episode?
Good question. I think that we should commit to a next episode. One.
Yes.
We've done that, right? And I think this is part of the like try to get a streak going kind of thing. I don't know. I think that maybe we commit also to sort of collecting things that might be good within a frame of an episode, right? So this is where we're trying to emerge like a format for our episodes, right? And so maybe, and I like this thing is like, you know, sort of minimum viable likelihood, something like that. Like,
yes.
Keep it as constrained as possible so you're more likely to do the next one. So we can schedule a time and then we can think about like, you know, maybe some small segment kind of things that we're going to bring and not too much, right?
What if we keep it so easy where it's like, because we didn't, we kind of had segments, which was just like, let's introduce it. Let's talk about what the frick Tanaki is and then ideas for episodes. Those are segment-ish.
Yeah, but general things. Maybe
give us a little layup because now we're iterating. What if we commit to, between you and I, we come up with one little 5 minute activity that we can do on the next episode? It could be that we've just written prompts down.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea of while we can give ourselves homework because we're like, we're being pretty hardcore about it. But I'd say maybe even a constraint for the activity could be an activity you could do that doesn't require homework. So it's like fully improv.
Yeah.
Find an object in the room. There's no excuses. You can just do it.
Yeah. So basically a little performance container that like sort of 5 minutes worth of stuff. I don't know if it, like 5 minutes might be, we'll see, like we'll try it. So let's have that as the like sort of stand in, bring, I like the idea of just bring some stuff that we could play together. Right. And then like with the general like outline of keeps 5 minutes fun. So I like that.
And I'll say maybe one last energy to put out there is audience participation. So for those who are listening, let us know what you'd like to see or hear within an episode. Do you want to hear more stuff about Tanaki? More stuff about technology? More stuff about my sister's bed?
Composition, thread count, height. Etc.
Yeah,
no, that's good.
Cool.
No, I think, yeah. And, you know, so we'll make this mandatory viewing.
Yes. You can't get the app unless you watch the full
episode. And we're going to put eye tracking in it. So,
yeah. We're going to work with the US. We're going to work with the world governments.
Surveillance state.
To ensure that this is instituted at every school, every prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same thing. We did great.
We did it. All right. Well, you wanna say a closer? It's funny when you're on camera versus like
say audio. A closer. We need a pattern for closing. What is the pattern for closing?
I like the Steve, you know, Steve, have you seen Check It Out with Steve Brule?
No.
Check
is it the
out.
Wine guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen clips. Great. I don't know.
He plays an idiot who was poisoned. He had his sandwiches poisoned by his mother growing up, and he's a doctor. And at the end of every episode, he does a "What did we learn?" And then he goes through the bullet points of stuff. And as we've been making this episode, we were both typing out notes. So maybe
that's not bad.
You want to skim over him?
All right. Keywords auto appear. I don't remember what that is, but we learned that. Tanaki on the side of a jet. So this is an essential part of graphic design practice. Audience applause. We want a soundboard so that when we're in this thing right now, it'd be, be great. A podcast giraffe. That's a really tall giraffe that whispers at you from the heights. A segment called Into the Weeds, where we really get down into the particulars of some kind of topic. A praying mantis, which was, you know, biting the heads off, creating the essential resource for all families, which is dad meat. And we're trying to promote audience interaction, send in your dad meat, and embracing wrong, which is just a nice principle that I think Tanaki can preach. Or teach, or both.
Reach and teach.
We learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Great. Well, this has been Sharing Noodles. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.